Thank you so much, as always, for listening to All Things Nintendo. But before we start today's episode, I want to let you know that today's show is presented by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, which is responsible for keeping people safe on America's roadways. From May 23rd to June 5th, 2022, state and local law enforcement agencies across the nation will be raising awareness about the importance of wearing a seatbelt and writing tickets to motorists who are not wearing their safety belts. Not only can buckling up save your life or your family's life, but it can also save you money from tickets. Don't risk it, click it or ticket. Welcome to another episode of the All Things Nintendo podcast. I'm Brian Shea from Game Informer, and this is a weekly podcast to discuss all the biggest news and games from the world of Nintendo. This week, we are turning our focus on the next big release from Nintendo, the revival of the long-dormant franchise Super Mario Strikers. I have seen the game in action, so I've invited Alex Van Aken on to chat with me about Mario Strikers Battle League. Alex, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Brian. Thanks for having me. Big Mario Strikers fan, so I am eager to talk about Battle League. I'm excited.
Yeah, and you know, it's been a long time since we've had a Mario Strikers title, but you played the old games?
Yeah, back in what, 2005 on GameCube. Even way more recently, Super Mario Strikers is a big Extra Life game for me. Back before I joined Game Informer, I would organize my own Extra Life events with friends. And Mario Strikers was like the go-to. We all loved it. Everybody got salty, but I'm like, it's one of those games. I'm not very good at sports games, but I'm good at Mario Strikers. Probably because it's a lot more than just a sports game. You get to tackle people and, you know, all the abilities. It's just like such a good time. And I love that game. But yeah, I was first introduced when it first came out on GameCube. Fell in love with it. Just playing against the AI, you know, on my GameCube by myself. And I've kind of kept that that love for the series going, even though we've only had two entries.
Yeah, and like I'm super excited to chat with you all about this new game that is coming out in just a couple of weeks here. But before we jump into that, I'm going to learn how to talk, and we're going to run down the news from last week. People who listen to the show every week know it's basically like a longstanding tradition at All Things Nintendo to start our news segment with something Pokemon related, and we're going to do that. Because there's always just something Pokemon happening in the world.
It's the cards or a plushie or a game or a show, like there's a lot to pull from.
There always is. There's always something going on. And we're going to do it here in a different manner this episode. So I didn't really see any like noteworthy, worth talking about news this week. But Temtem, which is an online multiplayer Pokemon style game from developer Crema, has been in early access for years now, and we finally have a 1.0 release date. And the 1.0 version is scheduled to hit PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, Switch, and PC on September 6th of this year. And it's going to include, like, the 1.0 update is going to include a new endgame island and a bunch of other, like, content and gameplay, like, tweaking and everything. Yeah. And the studio is also releasing a physical collector's edition, which includes a set of pins, replica of three in-game cards, patches, and a diorama statue featuring the three starters you can choose from. So, Alex, I'm going to ask you, what is your hype level on Temtem? Like, have you been following this game at all?
I have. I actually played the early access version a little bit back when it first came out, 2 years ago. Was that during the pandemic? Is that when that came out? It was like right before, right?
Hold on to your hats, because this game has been on Steam Early Access since before the pandemic. I was looking it up like right when I saw this news. January 2020 is when it hit Steam Early Access.
Man, that's when I played it too. To be fair, I didn't play it very long because whenever I play an Early Access game, I really enjoy playing Early Access games, but I often find that pull of like, oh, I shouldn't like invest all my time into this right now because I'm going to want to enjoy it fully at 1.0, but I still like to jump in and check it out. So I went in there, I picked my starter. I think isn't there a ghost starter, something like that. I picked and kind of ran around the world a little bit, had some fun. I am very excited for 1.0. Man, especially on Switch, that's going to be awesome. I hope the performance, like, since it is like an MMO, I hope that, you know, There aren't connection issues. That's my only worry.
Mm-hmm.
But I am very excited.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this game fares on Switch, just because, like, you know, it's so close to Pokemon. I mean, obviously, like, Pokemon isn't giving us an MMO, really. But, like, Pokemon is giving us two huge games this calendar year between Legends Arceus and Violet Scarlet. So, like, yeah. It'll be interesting to see, like, how this game fares on a platform that is getting those two games so close to, like, the style of this game, and it's sandwiched between those two major releases.
Yeah. I think by that point, though, I mean, it'll have been, what you said, September. So, I mean, 8-9 months since the release of Arceus.
Mm-hmm.
You've still got a few, what, 2-3 months till Scarlet and Violet. I think people will kind of be ready for, like, an appetizer. I think they're going to be like, okay, this is another Pokemon-like thing. I loved Arceus, or a lot of people loved Arceus,
mm-hmm.
and I still, you know, I can't play the new Scarlet Violet. This will be a holdover for me. I'll check it out, and I bet a lot of people are going to really like it when they do that. Is it full price, Brian? I can't remember. I don't think it is, right?
You know, I'm not sure. I can look that up real quick.
I want to say it was 30 during early access. I'm not sure if there's a Switch tax or not on you know, sometimes on the Switch versions, but yeah, so I think. What is it?
I don't think the Switch SKU is live right now, so I went to the Xbox.com SKU, and it is $45 to pre-order. So, you know, it's
okay.
Cheaper than an average Pokemon game as well.
Yeah, yeah. I don't believe it was that expensive at early access, but that's typically the case. You know, you get an early adopter, you get a bit of a better price.
Mm-hmm.
But $45, like, that's, you know, if that's what it is on Switch, then, like you said, like, it's discounted as well compared to Pokemon. I think it's actually a good thing. I think Pokemon interest is really high for right now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know the card game's kind of, like, settling back down to a more normal level, but, like, you've got several big sets coming out that have cards from the new games. You, of course, have the actual games themselves. I think it's just a really great year for Pokemon altogether. You got, you know, the card game's also integrating Pokemon Go stuff. Like, I think there's a fervency, if that's a word, for Pokemon right now. And I think, you know, being a Pokemon-like thing is a good thing.
Yeah, it's riding the right coattails at the right time, I think.
Yeah.
Not that this game doesn't have a lot of cool stuff going for it, like, on its own merits, but it's
sure.
Absolutely trying to, like, be like, hey, if you like Pokemon, you'll like this game.
And I really, from what I saw when I played it, I really liked a lot of the character designs of Tim. I think that's a thing that there have been games in the past that have kind of tried to go for Pokemon's lunch money, but their character designs just weren't up to par with, you know, the Pokemon company's designs. And I think Tim gives them a run for their money. I think they have a lot of really strong characterization and personality in the Tim.
Yeah,
the collectible monsters.
It's going to be something that I'm going to be monitoring very closely as we get, like, closer and closer to that September 6th date. But for people who aren't, like, able to jump in right now because it's only on Steam for the moment, it has more than 26,000 user reviews and it's a mostly positive rating. So I think it's fair to
which
say,
is
like,
pretty
this,
hard to get.
It's,
yeah,
this tribute game, which I think that's fair to call it, right? Like, it's definitely a tribute game. It's like fans of the Pokemon franchise who have been, like, a lot of people who've just been like, I want a Pokemon MMO. So they're just making it themselves, basically. It's looking pretty promising.
I'm adding it to my wish list right now for on my GG app. Want to play.
I
don't
want to
forget about
too.
That.
So yeah, I think I am going to pick it up on Switch. Granted, like, if it does come out and there's not a whole lot of technical issues, but hey, like, the OLED gave us the Ethernet port finally built into the dock.
Yeah. True.
And I had the USB Ethernet adapter since the Wii days. I picked that up on the Wii, and I've just been using it on my Wii U and then Switch all the way through. So
yeah, I had an Amazon Basics adapter up until the Switch OLED.
Yeah, so I think that seems like the way to go with any online game on a Switch console if you're playing it docked. So moving on to some broader Nintendo news. Earlier this year, speaking of Wii U, the company announced that it is sunsetting the 3DS and Wii U eShops. We already knew the stores were shutting down in March 2023, but this past week, we kind of got the beginning of the end, Alex. As of this past Monday, you can no longer add eShop funds directly to the Wii U or 3DS eShop using credit cards. You can still add funds using eShop gift cards, but that option is going away at the end of August. I think it's on the 29th of August. And then there is a workaround, though. If you link your Nintendo Network ID wallet, which is what you use to buy stuff on 3DS and Wii U, to your Nintendo account wallet, which is your Switch wallet for the eShop, you can use those same funds for Switch, 3DS, and Wii U, but that option is also going to go away, but that's not until the 3DS and Wii U eShops really shut down for good in March.
So does that mean, what's that process more specifically like? Like, do I buy the funds on my Switch through my credit card, and then it shows up on my 3DS and Wii U for me to use?
I haven't tested it myself because my 3DS I haven't turned on in... probably since 2017, honestly.
And I gave Alex Stadnick this past week my copy of Heart Gold, and I had to like pull my 3DS out, and like that was the game that was inside of it. And I was like, you have to protect this with your life. This is worth so much money.
You posted that on social media, I think, right?
I did on Twitter.
That's hilarious. But yeah, once that date rolls around in March 2023, you'll still be able to re-download games and DLC and also title updates for games that you already own for the foreseeable future. You just won't have the option to buy anything new. So I don't know. Okay. Like I think I've already concluded my purchasing on Wii U and 3DS. Like, I just haven't used those systems since the Switch came out. But I guess like if you're still keeping your Wii U or 3DS charged or plugged in, like, this is pertinent information for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, Alex, did you get to see Sonic 2 in theaters?
No, I haven't yet. I haven't been to the movies since, I've been to the movies since I saw Everything Everywhere All at Once, but have not seen Sonic, unfortunately. I haven't seen the first one either, to be fair, but I hear really good things about it.
Well, Alex, I know you have a Paramount Plus subscription because you started watching the Halo series with us, which, you know, you got off at the right time, I think. Like, for people who are keeping up with our Halo TV show reviews, we just concluded last week, and Alex was originally on this, but he jumped ship, I think, after episode 2.
Yeah, I did. I had to, I had some real life stuff to deal with, which was unfortunate real life stuff, but the silver lining was I didn't have to watch the Halo show anymore.
But yeah, you have a Paramount Plus subscription, so Sonic 1 has been on that for a long time. And we've talked about Sonic 2 quite a bit on this podcast, and we're not going to spend too much more time on it here on this episode, but I did want to let any listeners who may have missed the sequel while it was in theaters, or as well as yourself, Alex, that Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is now available on Paramount Plus.
Oh, awesome. That rules.
I think it's definitely one of the best video game movies.
I've been keeping up with the Sonic universe, as it were. I saw the Ugly Sonic this past week in Chip and Dale, and I definitely want to watch it's kind of spurred me to want to watch the Sonic movies as well. So
yeah, I mean, I definitely would recommend checking them out. The first one, it definitely, like, they had a thing where it was like, this is taking a lot of liberties, but like still remaining largely true to the character. The second one felt more like a love letter to like the actual game content and like kind of the lore of the characters. I think I prefer the second one over the first, but I know there are people who like the first one better as well. But like, go into it expecting it to be kind of like a fun kids movie, and I think you'll have a really good time. There's definitely a lot of moments that, like, as a Sonic fan, they made me smile.
Good. That's awesome.
And then obviously our main segment today is going to focus on the demo that I saw of Mario Strikers Battle League. But before we wrap up our news for this week, that game was actually the subject of a little news that broke this morning alongside the preview and video embargo that we also had coverage of on GameInformer.com. Nintendo has confirmed / announced, I mean, I think we all kind of assumed this would be the case, but much like Mario Golf Super Rush and Mario Tennis Aces before it, Mario Strikers Battle League is going to have a free post-launch content update calendar.
Awesome.
And we don't know exactly what it will be, but they say it will include characters. And so I did a little bit of digging. And right now the roster consists of Mario, Luigi, Bowser, Peach, Rosalina, Toad, Yoshi, Donkey Kong, Wario, and Waluigi. And then Boom Boom is kind of the goalie for both teams.
Yeah.
So I spent some time looking at the character rosters in other Mario sports games that are like absent from Mario Strikers Battle League. Here are my best guesses for who is going to be appearing in Mario Strikers Battle League's post-launch free content updates. So these are the, I think, the most likely candidates. Daisy.
Okay.
Toadette. Bowser Jr. Koopa Troopa. Diddy Kong. Birdo. Boo. And Shy Guy.
Diddy Kong, well, Boo, I feel like is, Boo and Bowser Jr. are the most likely, I feel like, on that list.
Really?
But I would be very happy with Diddy Kong.
I'd be that's your most wanted, do you think?
Yeah, I'm a big Diddy Kong fan. I don't actually particularly like, I love Diddy Kong Racing. That's where my love for Diddy Kong comes in. Mm-hmm. I don't particularly love the earlier DK games. But I did like Tropical Freeze a lot. But my affinity for Diddy Kong comes from DKR. And I like to see him in any game.
I love Diddy Kong Racing. But yeah, like my love for him came in his first appearance in the original Donkey Kong Country. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that Daisy is honestly the most likely candidate because like...
Oh, you're right. I forgot you said Daisy. Yeah.
But Toadette also. But it's funny, though, because like we asked in the kind of like... Nintendo Treehouse demo that was happening that we're going to talk about in the main segment and said like, hey, can you like duplicate characters? Like if I want to do like a team of four Marios, could I do that? And they said, no, the only characters that you can do duplicates of in the games are Yoshi and Toad because Yoshi and Toad are species, not characters.
Okay. And
then like somebody at Nintendo Treehouse, when they answered that, they were like, I want a shirt that just says Toad is a species.
Yeah, that's
which
funny.
I thought was pretty funny.
That differentiation that they have is really funny. You really think Toadette is more likely than like Bowser Jr.? You think
I think Toadette is on level with Bowser Jr.
Okay.
I would say like Daisy's most likely, followed by Toadette and Bowser Jr.
Okay. I could see Boo before Toadette, but.
I don't know. It feels like Toadette.
I'm sleeping on Toadette.
She's been getting a push lately. I feel like
yeah, that's true.
She had a prominent role in the last Mario Party game, and she's been in a lot of the recent sports games as well.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
But I mean, all those characters.
I remember
have been
if she
in
was in Tennis Aces. I knew she was in golf.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure she was in tennis.
I think she was.
Okay.
But again, Nintendo isn't telling us anything about who to expect or even what else to expect. So they said it's going to include characters. I don't think that they've said like they're going to only be characters. So I think I would be surprised if we got like stadiums or like additional power-ups or something, but I'm sure we'll find out pretty soon who the first character is, because I think looking at like the like Mario Golf Super Rush post-launch content stuff, it was all like I think the first character was like the first month that it launched. So like
that sounds right. Yeah,
it seemed like they had a new character every month, which is pretty cool. I wonder if they're going to commit to a similar cadence with Mario Strikers Battle League, but I guess we'll see shortly after launch. But yeah, we're going to talk all about Mario Strikers Battle League after our first break. And yeah, Alex, I'm excited to chat with you about that. But
me too.
We're going to do that right after this break. We'll be right back. Before we jump back into this episode of All Things Nintendo, this message is presented by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, or NHTSA, which is responsible for keeping people safe on America's roadways. Nearly 10% of Americans are still not buckling up when they get into their vehicle, and the majority of those killed in motor vehicle traffic crashes are men. In 2019, 65% of the 22,215 passenger vehicle occupants who were killed were men. Men also wear their seatbelts at a lower rate than women. 51% of men killed in crashes weren't wearing a seatbelt. Not only can buckling up save your life or your family's life, but it can also save you money from tickets. From May 23rd to June 5th, 2022, state and local law enforcement agencies across the nation will be raising awareness about the importance of wearing a seatbelt and writing tickets to motorists who are not wearing their safety belts. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration would like us to remind listeners that Click It or Ticket isn't about citations. It's about saving lives. wearing your seatbelt is also not just about you. Every fatality from not wearing a seatbelt impacts many other people, including your loved ones. The national seatbelt use rate in 2021 was 90.4%, which is good, but we can do better. It's so easy to buckle up, and by doing so, you can prevent crash-related deaths. Don't risk it. Click it or tick it. In 2005, Nintendo released a title on GameCube called Super Mario Strikers, and just 2 years later, we got Mario Strikers Charged on Wii. However, it has been a decade and a half since the series has been heard from, and I think a lot of fans lost hope. However, the series is finally making its triumphant return with Mario Strikers Battle League just next month. And I got to see the game in action, but before we jump into my impressions, I want to put into perspective just how dormant this franchise truly is. Alex, we are going to turn this into a game of sorts, so I'm going to trust you to not cheat here. Tell me how many entries in each of the following franchises have come out since the last Mario Strikers game, which was Mario Strikers Charged on Wii in 2007. Okay?
Okay. My hands first are off up, the keyboard.
First up, Mario Golf. How many games since the last Strikers game?
I'm going to say four.
Two,
okay.
So that was surprising.
I just feel
low.
Like they always put out golf games, but okay, two.
Next up, Mario Tennis.
Two, I'm going with.
Three,
okay.
Okay, Mario Baseball. Or Mario Sluggers, whatever it's called. One game. Yes, correct.
I was right.
Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games.
Oh, God. I'm saying like five. Well, no, not at the Olympics. Two.
Six.
Six?
If you count the Winter Olympics, it's six.
Oh, my gosh.
Super Smash Brothers.
Oh, okay, I know this. Since 2007, we've had... One, are we counting the 3DS and Switch versions as two separate games?
Whichever one you want to do, just let me know how you're counting it and I will tell you, because I've actually accounted for that.
Okay, I'm counting it as one game. So what, three?
Three if you count 3DS and Wii U versions as the same game. Four if you count them as separate.
Yeah.
Mario Party.
Oh, man. I'm going to say five.
Eight.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sleeping on them. I'm underestimating.
Here we go. The big one. Super Mario Brothers. How many mainline Super Mario Brothers games have hit since the last Mario Strikers game?
Is that 2D and 3D and like everything?
Yes. 2D or 3D games.
Oh, that's a lot. I'm going by system. Let me count them. So on 3DS, we got one, two, three. I can't remember. Then on, oh God, there's so many. I'm going to say 10.
All right. So if you include the Mario Maker games and 3D World with Bowser's Fury, 12.
Oh,
so if you don't include Mario Maker, which I actually do include Mario Maker in there, but if you don't, 10. And then if you want to take away 3D World with Bowser's Fury, which I don't want to do that because I think Bowser's Fury is worthy of being called its own game.
Oh, yeah.
Nine. So I would accept 12, 10, or 9 as answers.
Well, I said 10, so I'm going to take it.
But yeah, all that to say is it's been a long time since we've had a Mario Strikers game. And during this year's first Nintendo Direct in February, Nintendo announced Mario Strikers Battle League is coming out this summer. And first of all, what was your impression? Because I know that since we talked about it at the top of the show, you are a big Mario Strikers guy. What was your reaction when that happened?
Well, I was streaming with Alex Stadnick at the time. We were doing a watch along. And honestly, I was blown away. Like, I was so surprised. I always say, like, my prediction is always Super Mario Strikers. I'm that guy who's, like, every year whenever, like, E3 predictions would come up, I'd say Super Mario Strikers. Especially because we were getting like a lot of sports titles in recent years. And so I think I just threw it out there as a joke at the beginning. But I never actually thought we were going to get one. And yeah, I was elated, I would say, is the emotion that I was feeling. And the fact that we were getting it like that year, like just this summer, I was just so, so happy that we were finally getting it. Because I know, like, I'm not expecting the series to come back in any way. Like, I'm expecting we get this Strikers, and then it'll probably be a while till we get another one. I could be mistaken, but I'm really cherishing the fact that we're getting one. I'm very thankful, and I'm gonna, you know, savor it.
For sure, and I'm really happy for you, by the way. But since it's been a decade and a half, I just want to run down what Strikers even is. So it's based around this game called Strike, and it's basically like the Mushroom Kingdom soccer. It's 5v5, and it's a no rules take on the sport. So like you can like tackle opponents, you can toss items at them, you can push them into the electric fence that surrounds the field. And even though it's 5v5, the multiplayer is 4v4, since no player controls the goalie kind of just auto controls. And the 4v4 applies to single system play, multi-system local play, and online. So like if you want to crowd 8 people on one Switch, you can do that, which is pretty wild to think about. But the items range, so it's like kind of like Mario Kart style, but it's a much smaller pool of items from what I saw. Like I mean, maybe I didn't see everything, but I did see a lot of repeating items. So I saw green and red shells, banana peels, mushrooms, bob-ombs, and the most powerful item, though, is the Strike Orb, which doesn't spawn in like kind of like any item blocks like you would see in Mario Kart. Instead, it's like its own little thing that you pick up, and it lets you do character-specific hyper strikes, which are like super powerful shots that count for 2 points if they go in. And each character has like this kind of like really like hyper-stylized cutscene that plays if you successfully get a hyper strike off. So like Yoshi lays a huge egg that like bounces around and squashes opponents before the shot goes off. And then Luigi, for some reason, is able to spawn a giant tornado that like sucks opponents up and then spits the ball out towards the goal. Toad calls his fellow Toads over and like they throw him up in the air and he heads the ball and it tunnels underground. Like it kind of like makes it so like it tunnels around. You don't know where it's going to pop up. And then this one really hammered home to me that there are no freaking rules for Strike. Bowser just walks up and picks up the ball, breathes fire on it, and then throws it towards the goal. So like this is definitely like it's inspired by soccer. And like Wario, like he doesn't dribble the ball, he just picks it up and runs with it. Like so like there is definitely like some non-soccer shenanigans happening and some liberties that the studio takes when they're adapting soccer to whatever sport that Mushroom Kingdom is playing in this game.
That's my favorite thing about the Mario sports games as of late is, you know, we had it in tennis, we had it in golf last year. There's always some like character specific gimmick that makes it really fun and, you know, makes it more than just the cast of the Mushroom Kingdom playing a sport. Like there's always that twist on it. You know, there's always those items at play. And my favorite part is seeing the, for lack of a better, I mean, they're called hyper strikes in this game, but like the character, like ultimate abilities, right? Those are always fun.
Basically what they
to
are.
To see what they're going to be in each game. Yeah.
And like the way you initiate a hyper strike, so you have to get one of those orbs and all the players on your team glow. And then you have to get the ball and there's like a charge shot that you have to do. And then a meter appears above the character's head and you have to time it just right 2 times on the meter. And then the cutscene initiates. And if you miss it, you still get the cutscene. But if it's off, the goalie has a chance to block it. And it's like a button mashing mini game, like where like the team will all mash the button and try to get the goalie to like help block it. But if you get the timing just right, the shot's unblockable. But also like the way that you can really screw up your opponent if they're doing a hyper strike is to tackle them while they're doing the charge up. Because that will actually make them lose their hyper strike.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I like that.
But like it There's goes into slow motion.
You can't willy-nilly just press the button and you have to like make sure you're smart about it. I like that.
For sure. It adds a little bit of a layer of strategy there. And like it's not a super rare thing, but like it does seem like it's a pretty difficult thing to pull off, like getting the timing right and making it so it's unblockable. So I like that if you're really skilled. It's almost like in Metroid Dread, like if one of the Emmy bots got you down, like you had a very small chance of countering it, but more than likely you were just dead. Where it's like this, it's like, all right, yeah, the team can block the shot if they're like good at mashing the A button or whatever button it tells you to do. But, you know, there's a small chance you can make it, like, if you're skilled enough to make it unblockable. And then it's 2 points right off the bat there.
Yeah, I like that.
And then, you know, the matches get pretty frantic. Like, I, you know, there was a bunch of players, like, getting thrown into the electric fence, as I mentioned before, like, getting tackled. You can tackle your teammates, and it actually, if you do it, so if you do a tackle on an opponent, it takes them down, and, like, they'll fall, and you'll be able to steal the ball from them. But if you tackle your teammate, it actually gives them a speed boost. So like if you're trying to get like a teammate to catch up to the ball carrier, you can do a tackle and it'll like give them a bump forward, like a little boost move. So that's awesome. Kind of cool. So it's like a good like team move that you can do there. And also it's hilarious because one of the first games that I watched, the demo where like winded up a charge shot and like Luigi was just standing directly in front of the charge shot. It hit him right in the face. It made like the most satisfying smack. And he just like slid back, like immediately fell to the ground and slid backwards, like probably 20 feet on the grass. It's like, oh, he's dead.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, and it's pretty short matches. I think it was like, what, 5 minutes like that a match took. So like it goes pretty quickly. So it's like if you're playing a game, it's not like you're playing a game of FIFA where it's going to take you maybe like an hour to get through the game. So it's pretty quick hit there, pretty arcade style in terms of that. I mean, in terms of almost everything. It's like Mario Kart meets soccer is like a good way to describe this. But at the end of the match, the game gives you coins, which then can be used to purchase gear. And the gear system is actually pretty interesting, Alex. It essentially allows you to completely change how each character plays if you want.
Yeah, it's kind of like some RPG elements.
Yeah, so each character has different slots. So they have head, arms, body, and legs that you can customize, and you use the coins that you earn through playing to unlock these different pieces of gear. And each piece has cosmetic differences. Like there was one that was like, I'm trying to find, oh, like Turbo. I'm looking at my notes here. There's Muscle, Chain, Cannon, Turbo, and Trick are the five gear sets that are, I'm assuming those, that's another thing they could add after launch though, is the different gear sets that will give you like different bonuses, but like their cosmetic differences, like I think it was Turbo that looks almost like it's like almost like a cyberpunk style, which is pretty cool. Like has like a visor, like a neon visor over across like the helmet.
Looks like a Super Saiyan.
A little bit. Yeah. But they also give different attribute boosts. So like, that's really cool to me because like whatever gear you put on them carries through to every other mode. So like, basically, like they were showing me like how they spec'd out some of their characters, and Rosalina is like one of her biggest strengths is her shot, like her built-in attributes, because all the characters control differently and have different attributes. So she already has a really strong shot, but the demoer spec'd her to pretty much have her shot stat maxed out through her gear, and so like it showed like they played. I had it so they had to play against Rosalina, and she was just an unstoppable goal-scoring machine. Like she was just like wrecking them. And then similarly, like the demoer took Bowser, and he already is a pretty sturdy character. Like if you played him in Mario Kart, you know, like if you run into Bowser at full speed, like he's probably going to take away, like he's probably going to knock you over. And they made his resist tackle stat like even stronger than it already is. So like you can really have some fun with this, it seems like. So I'm looking forward to that a lot.
Yeah, likewise. I mean, anytime I can like further hone a character to my playstyle, I'm all about it. My one worry is like, you know, how much of a difference will it make if a new player is coming into the game and has no gear versus somebody who's, you know, unlocked everything, and like how big of a gap will that be? Like, that's my only really, and it's a small concern.
Cause you mean like competitively?
Yeah, competitively.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's also like you can, it's only one piece of gear per slot. So it's not like you can be like, I'm going to stack like four helmets on this character. And like,
and just, it's not like you can level them up either.
Correct.
So it should be fine.
Yeah. But I mean, I definitely understand that concern. I don't know how much balancing they do online. But yeah, I could see that being a concern for sure. But there are actually, speaking of the modes you can play, there are three modes in Mario Strikers Battle League. There's Quick Battle, which is, you know, just exactly what it sounds like. It's just one quick match. There are cup battles, which are 1 to 4 players on the same team. And I think you're playing against the AI in this mode. But you try to win these tournaments, like kind of like Mario Kart style, where as you win a tournament, it unlocks new cups that you can play in. And then winning the cups give you like a ton of coins that you can use to unlock gear.
Awesome.
And then the big one that they're adding for this, because, you know, the game is called Battle League. This is the namesake mode here, which is Strikers Club. And this is an online only mode. You join or create a club with up to 20 people. And then there's one owner, and the owner decides on like customization for the stadiums, the logo, the name, and then everyone else can vote to like say, hey, we want this stadium, like we want this component for the stadium, because the stadiums are super customizable. Like you choose a base from any of the various stadiums in the game. I think there, I saw there were like five or six stadiums. And then you can pull from various elements. Like if you want, like, all right, I want the, let me look at what some of these ones were, like Mushroom Hill. Like I want Mushroom Hill as my base stadium. And then you can choose like fence posts from Jungle Retreat or like Spooky Mansion, or fence posts, goals, fields, like any other parts from that. And then all of those elements are also upgradable within this mode.
That's cool.
Like, I think each of them have like 5 different tiers that you can unlock, like that just makes them like cooler, more over the top. Like in one situation, like one of the teams had like a ton of people in the stands, or a ton of like shy guys in the stands. And then the other one was like a level 1. So like it only had like a couple of bleachers full of fans. Yeah. So like it was really cool to see like the difference between like, oh, this is a fully upgraded stadium and this is not at all upgraded.
I love that. Honestly, anytime like, Destiny does some similar thing. I mean, there's plenty of games with like more like guild or clan features that level up as you go. A lot of MMOs do it. But that's always like a really cool incentive to play with your friends on top of, you know, just wanting to play with your friends. And I'd love to like set up a night where like, what, there's 20 people in a club. It'd be cool if, you know, there's what, 4 people on a team. And like if we could just like have the whole club split up into groups of 4. Just, you know, everybody going into separate matches and trying to bring the club in, you know, points, that would be a lot of fun.
Well, that's what's cool about it is like, you know, you have 20 members of your club and you only need 4 people in order to play a match. So like, that's really smart of them to be like, all right, it's not just like a team of 4 and you have to hope everybody on your club is available. It's like, no, you have a full club. You just need to make sure at least 4 people are ready to play and then you can jump into a match.
Like that's, you get 5 people going. Five groups going. Does everybody like trying to bring in the club points one? That would be really cool to set up.
But
you only have to have 4 people online. That's awesome.
It's really smart design, I think, especially considering like making up for the inequities of Nintendo's or the shortcomings of Nintendo's online service. And like, you know, it's not super easy to send people messages or coordinate with friends or have voice chat or anything like that. So, like, I think it's smart of them to design around that. And, you know, we talked about the online subscription services recently on this podcast. And that was one of the things we wanted to see. It was just like, get your infrastructure better, get your like social features better. And like, this game kind of accounts for that, the fact that it's not as good as what Xbox and PlayStation offer. And there's no like Discord functionality that you can loop in to make it an easier situation. So that's really smart design by the developers. After you complete, like each match gives you coins and tokens. And like, then you also get points towards your divisional rankings. And then there are also season achievements that like you can accomplish that give you extra rewards. There are things
that's
like
cool.
Using a number of hyper strikes over the course of a season or winning a set number of matches. And those will give you additional rewards on top of the ones that you get for either winning or losing your match. And then at the end of the season, the top teams in each division are promoted and the bottom teams are demoted. And there are 7 divisions total that you can like get promoted or demoted to.
I wonder how long seasons are going to last. Have they said anything?
I don't think they've said like in the demo, it said like 5 days were remaining, like in like their pre-launch server that they had that they were running.
Yeah.
But I don't know like if that indicates a week, a couple weeks or whatever. Like, I don't know when that started.
I could see them like, I don't anticipate Nintendo having like month long seasons. I could see like, you know, once every 2 weeks, a new season. That seems like because like this is ultimately aimed at family friendly audiences, right? Like,
yeah.
I think like shorter seasons would probably do a lot of good.
Now, what if it's this way? What if there is a month-long season and they give you a new season to coincide with the release of a new character?
Yeah.
That would be cool, but I don't know if they're gonna plan it that much. And also, yeah, like some of these games will sometimes have not the longest tail in terms of like the hardcore community. So I wonder if they want to like strike while the iron's hot and like get through a few seasons before like we start seeing the player base drop off.
Yeah. I don't know. I lean more towards the latter. But who knows?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, just like we said, like the cadence in which they release these characters. But Alex, I have some more news for you regarding Mario Strikers Battle League that hit today at the embargo lift.
Oh.
I know you're excited. You've been waiting 15 years for a new Mario Strikers game. So, you know, June 10th is when the game comes out. But if you want to check out Mario Strikers Battle League before launch, you can get a little taste right now. Because if you're a Nintendo Switch Online subscriber, Nintendo has just launched a test kick beta test. And
that's awesome.
We're recording this before it actually goes live. But I believe at first it's just a tutorial and some basic gameplay. But as we get closer, it's going to open up to allow for a little bit of online play just to like test their servers. Like they told us basically it's meant to be like half server test, half demo.
Okay. Yeah, so, I had no idea that was coming. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm just now finding this out genuinely. That's exciting. I'm excited. Dang. Okay.
But yeah, so like that'll be a good way to like get a hang for like, or get a handle on the mechanics and see like kind of like quench your thirst that has been, I guess, unquenched for the past decade and a half. But if you just want to wait for the full game, it comes out June 10th. So it's not that far off. Like we're like 2 weeks out. But I'm assuming your hype level for this one is pretty high. Like after hearing all this stuff, after seeing it in action, you can also go to GameInformer.com, check out my full written previews, check out Alex's video that they did showing off some gameplay. But yeah, I'm assuming like after seeing all this stuff, reading all this stuff, talking about it on this podcast, you're even more hyped for it.
Yeah, especially now that I'm realizing, Shay, we're going to be on a work trip when this releases. And I would love to do some hotel room Super Mario Strikers, you know, tourneys. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Well, you know that's happening. Like that goes without saying, or at least at the airport.
Yeah, like somewhere.
Well, hey, if there's local play, that should work on the plane.
Yeah.
Like even if we don't buy the Wi-Fi, that should work on the plane. I think we used to do that on 3DS. We would do like some of the local multiplayer on the flight.
That's
like,
awesome.
I forget what game it was, but like on the way to E3 one year, we were all playing one game like together on the flight. It was kind of cool. Yeah. But yeah, any parting words before we take our last break of the day?
No, this is one of my more anticipated games of the year. Maybe my most anticipated Nintendo release of the year. I'm really excited for Pokemon Scarlet and Violet as well. But yeah, man, I just can't wait to play it for myself. Don't have too long to wait either.
No, we don't. Like I said, June 10th. So yeah, by the time this episode comes out, it's just 2 weeks away. But Alex, we're going to take one last break. And when we get back, we'll be talking definitive ranking and then getting your eShop gem of the week. We will be right back. We are back one last time for this week, and it is time for Definitive Ranking, a recurring segment where we take a Nintendo topic and give our personal top five lists. Alex, we were talking all about Mario Strikers Battle League today, so I want to look back and get your top five Mario sports games of all time. So I'm going to throw it to you. Start with five, count it down to one. Just give me a quick sentence or two about each.
All right. Number five is Mario Tennis Aces. I wasn't a big fan of the single player stuff. I really go into Mario sports titles looking for multiplayer. And Mario Tennis Aces, I felt like delivered. I had a ton of fun competing in the online leaderboards. I thought all of the character abilities were, you know, each of them had their own style and it felt really great to play. In fact, like I'm thinking I should re-download that on my Switch now that I'm talking about it. But yeah. Mario Tennis Aces is number five. Number four, I don't remember much about, but I remember that I played it a lot as a kid and enjoyed it. But I couldn't sit here and tell you, you know, why. But it's one of those games that I played a lot as a child. It's a Mario sports game. It's got to go on the list because it's more of one of the more unique things. We don't get many releases in this series, but Mario Superstar Baseball is going on my list at number four, you know? I feel like we need more Mario Baseball games.
I think so, too. And I bet we'll get it. Like, now that we're getting Mario Strikers, like, I would be surprised if we don't get Mario Baseball in, a year or two.
I'd say it's my least favorite of the just baseball in general, I don't really prefer to watch on TV. I don't love playing games of baseball, but I'm interested to see what kind of fun abilities we could get with a new one. But yeah, sure. Number four is Mario Superstar Baseball. Number three is Mario Golf Toadstool Tour. Great game. Love Mario Golf. That is a staple. I played most of the releases, and I just think Toadstool's Tour is a solid entry in the Mario Golf series. Mm. Number two, I am a big fan of Mario Tennis games, and my love stems from Mario Tennis on N64. Really love that. Love that. I believe it's included in Switch Online in the subscription.
I believe it is.
Yeah, and I played it during last year's Extra Life, I believe, or at least before we went on with Star Fox. I was playing it on my, I think that was the event. Doesn't matter. Big Mario Tennis fan. Loved Mario Tennis Aces, but I mean, I got to give credit where credit's due. And tennis on N64 was just absorbed my time in my younger years, and played it with my mom quite a bit, actually. And yeah, love that game. It rules. Number one, though, I mean, we've talked it up so much. My number one is Super Mario Strikers. It is the best Mario sports game, in my opinion. Still holds up. Yeah, I mean, I just need a more convenient place to play it, and I don't have long to wait. So,
yeah, as I say, you're getting it very soon.
I am. That's been that would be honestly like one of the like recurring games in my playlist right now. If there was an easier way, I own a GameCube, but I want to be able to play it with friends, and I'm not going to have my friends come over, especially during a pandemic, and sit down around and play it on the GameCube. But I cannot wait for the new one. But the OG is just so phenomenal. It still holds up, like I said. I felt like it was so inventive at the time. Maybe not so much looking back. It's Mario playing soccer, but it plays more like hockey, honestly, with the tackles and everything. But
it really does.
Yeah.
Oh, now you got me wanting a Mario hockey game.
Oh, dude. They had one. I forget which system it was on, maybe it was a mini game in Mario Party, but
or maybe it was in Mario Sports Superstars.
Maybe,
is my number five, which was a 3DS game. That was just kind of like a little like here are bite-sized Mario sports games. I mean, I don't think it was overall like I don't think I reviewed it super highly, but like there were some fun moments in that. There just wasn't a whole lot of content, mm-hmm. but like I was like, oh, I would like these to be more fleshed out, and they weren't because they were just like little like 3DS like sample size sports games.
Yeah, but like a little a flight of tastings.
Exactly. But it's like, I would like to order more of this one, please.
Yes.
Number four, I'm going to go a little bit different here. Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020. And that's because like they had like this whole like 8-bit like and like 16-bit sprite like mode where you could do like kind of like retro style homages to the old Olympic video games.
That's cool.
But then on top of that, they had all the modern stuff, online play. Like it was again lacking in content, but overall, like they did some pretty cool stuff with that game.
And you know, I've never played one of those games in that series.
I think that's the one to play, honestly.
Yeah. Okay.
The most the 2020 one.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's number four. Then we're gonna get into kind of some of the more traditional ones. I have two Mario Golf games back to back. Mario Golf Rush on Switch. Uh-huh. I think that's a really fun game. Number two, Mario Golf on Game Boy Color. That RPG style story mode is what I was wanting from Mario Golf Super Rush. And unfortunately, the single player story in Mario Golf Super Rush kind of sucks. But the single player and Mario Golf on Game Boy Color rules. And then number one, you mentioned it on your list, Mario Tennis on N64. That combined with Virtua Tennis is why I picked up a tennis racket when I got injured and couldn't try out for baseball in high school. I was a big baseball player growing up, and I sprained my ankle the week before sophomore year tryouts. And then I didn't play at all that season. Then I tried out junior year, and I knew I didn't play at all sophomore year, so I didn't make the team because I was like so out of practice, even though I got trained for it in the lead up to it. So I was like, well, I don't want to not play a sport this year. So the next week was tennis, and I had never picked up a racket before, and I went out and I made the tennis team. So I played varsity tennis for 2 years, and it was because I only knew how the game worked because I learned like the scoring system and the rules through Virtua Tennis on Dreamcast and Mario Tennis on N64. And honestly, I was a tennis instructor for 3 years following that.
Really?
A part-time thing over the summer. Like I would, my old high school coach actually, he was like, hey, you have like a really good mind for the game. And I was like, yeah, it's Mario Tennis and Virtua Tennis. And so he actually,
I like the idea that your program includes forcing kids to go and play those games too.
I actually did recommend it to a few kids. Like, hey, if
you have to play until you vomit.
Like, hey, if you have N64, like go rent Mario Tennis. Cause you know, renting games was still a thing back then.
Yeah, that's fine.
But yeah, so that's my list. Mario Tennis just has a very special place in my heart. I also really, I did want to give a shout out to Mario Tennis Aces, but I, you know, for the sake of diversity on the list, I wanted to just include one Mario Tennis thing. Also, we had a gentleman's agreement coming into this list that we were not going to put a Mario Kart. We decided Mario Kart was kind of its own thing and not a sports title, even though like it's debatable whether or not racing is a sport. I think it probably leans closer to sports than not, but it also, same. It's like Mario Kart, I think we can agree, is like head and shoulders above
it would
any
have,
of the other
It wouldn't
titles.
Have been a fair fight, I think.
Exactly. So I think both of us would have probably put like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe as our number one on this list.
It would have been very boring.
It's less exciting. So that leaves us one thing left to do here, Alex, the eShop Gem of the Week. So it's just an opportunity for you to give some shine to a game that probably wouldn't otherwise get it on this podcast. What is your eShop Gem of the Week for this episode?
Yeah, so I wanted to kind of go with the sports theme of the week. And this is actually a recent game that I've, I've been working on some games in my own time, just personal game dev. And, it has to do with music. So I was kind of about 3 months ago going on the eShop looking for rhythm games and stumbled upon this little gem on the eShop gem. It's called Lo-Fi Ping Pong. It's a game maker game. It's developed by somebody named Calveras and Nikolai Kislitsyn, and self-published, I believe. It's a rhythm game, but it's also a ping pong game. And so it is, think like lo-fi beats to chill to. That's the sort of music we're going for, that chill hop vibe. All done by the creators, original music. And yeah, it is a very simple ping pong game where you are matching essentially the ping pong is going to the beat of the music, and you have to worry about like center shots, left shots and right shots. And so those are like your inputs for the rhythm game. And it's a lot of fun, man. It's really cheap too. I want to say it's like $4.99. Just really enjoyed it.
It is $5 normally. But right now, as of this recording, I mean, this might, by the time we publish this episode tomorrow, it might change. It is only $2.74 on sale.
Dude, I had no idea it was on sale. Yeah, this game is a gem. I love it. I think it's great. I think sometimes it can be a little strict on the timing of getting everything, getting your hits right. But yeah, if you like pixel art games, it's a pixel art 2D, there's some cool like table, cool arenas that you're playing in on the ping pong table. But yeah, man, the music is great. It's just, I think there's a way that you can also like, it does the Super Mario or the Super Smash Bros. Thing where there's like a music mode where you can listen to just the music tracks as well if you want.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, don't quote me on that, but the gameplay itself is really fun and very chill. Just called Lo-Fi Ping Pong. Definitely worth the $2 on Switch. I think that's a steal, honestly. It was a steal at $5.
It's funny because I've talked at length, like almost every time somebody brings up a game on the eShop Gem of the Week, I'm like, oh man, that sounds so good, and I'll add it to my wish list. And then I have spent so much money as a result of this segment. And I'm like, this is like getting me in trouble. I need to like stop buying these games that people recommend to me because like they all sound so much fun because, you know, that you guys are the ones that are bringing them to the show. So it's like, obviously you love these games. So you're talking passionately about them. I don't feel so guilty dropping $2.74 on
this
game.
Yeah.
So I
less
actually
than
did
a cup of
it.
Coffee. You always hear, you know, it's right price of a cup of coffee. It's the price of half a cup of coffee.
It's the price of a third of the cup of coffee that I bought this morning.
Yeah. $2.74. Man, I hope that sale is still here when this episode releases tomorrow. Because, yeah, I think this is a hidden gem, honestly. And if you're interested, the developer kind of specializes in rhythm games. I don't know if they're all on Switch or not, but they all have some sort of twist. It's not just like a rhythm game. It's some sort of other mechanic at play. And in this one, it's ping pong. And yeah, I hope people enjoy it. Nice. I hope you enjoy it, Shay.
I'm looking forward to playing it. I haven't dug in yet, but like I said, I did buy it. It probably has downloaded on my Switch automatically. But yeah, thanks for bringing that one. And thank you so much for joining me for this episode, Alex. Like, I know you have a lot going on right now. You're traveling, you're taking care of some business in your life. So I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to chat about Mario Strikers Battle League.
Thanks for having me on. I'm happy that, my fandom in the Strikers of the Strikers games have landed me on this podcast. It was an honor to talk to you today, Shay. Thank you for having me. And I'll see you the next time I'm on, I guess.
Yeah, and thank you so much to everyone for listening. Do me a favor, if you haven't already, throw All Things Nintendo a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice and hit that subscribe button. And if you want to get any questions or comments in, we are going to be doing a Q&A episode in the near future. So you can do that by getting in touch with me at allthingsnintendo@gameinformer.com or hit me up on Twitter or Instagram @BrianPichet. Or you can always join us on the Game Informer Community Discord, which is a perk for subscribing to our Twitch channel. Even just for 1 month, there is an All Things Nintendo channel in there. I am soliciting for questions as I record this episode, so you can hit us up in there as well. Alex, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on all the social medias at It's Van Aken, ITSVANAKEN. And then a lot of my work is over on the YouTube, on Game Informer YouTube channel, youtube.com/Game Informer, of course, over on GameInformer.com as well, and twitch.tv/GameInformer.
So. And you are also one half of the hosting duo of the Game Informer Show, which is our flagship podcast. And
Yeah,
so go check that out if you appreciate Alex being on this show. And
normally I don't record from my grandparents' sunroom. It's normally better conditions, but yeah, go check it out.
Yeah, well, and also, you know, lots of cool stuff coming down the pipeline for that show as well, because we have Summer Game Fest on the horizon. So the entire month of June is going to be a busy one over there. And I believe we might be recording a live in-person episode while we're all out in LA together.
We are. I'm very excited for that episode. We're also going to be doing, I believe, daily recaps of our time while we're at SGF. So, yeah.
So make sure the Game Informer Show is in your podcast feed. And as for All Things Nintendo, that is our show for this week. Thank you again for listening. Take care. We'll see you next time.